There's one Nekuda Nagarta the Gemara has, that if you have a Talmud that goes to Golis, so his Rebbe has to go with him, and we learn it, sounds like it's a Dindo Raisa, we learn it from the Pasuk, where it says that he should live in the Ir Miklat. He should live in the Ir Miklat, right? So therefore we darshan that his Rebbe has to go with him. So what on earth does that mean? What on earth does that mean, that he's not considered living if his Rebbe's not with him? I mean, that's very nice to think like that, but what is the Iker Pshat in, what is the Iker Pshat in the Pasuk V'chai, which teaches us that the Rebbe has to go? So if you take a look in the Ritva, Divrei Masechta Megillah, if you have a copy, take a look, we'll read it inside, it's a short piece. All the Maror Makomos on the next couple of blot are short. But right, so the Ritva here in Divrei Masechta Megillah Rabo Imo says Pirish. V'afal pi sheyesh yeshiva ba'ari miklat, even though there was obviously yeshivas in the Ari Miklat, shelo min hakol adam zoche lilmod. So he says, you have to fill in the blank. He says that even though there were yeshivas to learn in the Ari Miklat, then the Rebbe still has to go with him, because a person is not zoche to learn from everyone. Kedar minan b'meseches avodah zarah. So he quotes the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Yutesim and Aleph, that a person is not zoche to learn with everybody. I just said Yutesim and Aleph because footnote in the Moser Rav Kook Ritva says Yutesim and Aleph. It's actually not 100% true. The line that the Ritva was quoting is Gemara Avodah Zarah Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, which says Shelo min hakol adam zoche lilmod. They were talking there about some of the Talmidim of Rebbe were talking about learning different things, and they were saying how you can't be zochet to learn from everybody. The Gemara in Yitesim et Aleph actually has the famous line, Ein Adam Lomed Ela Mimakom Shalibo Chafetz. A person will only learn from the place that his heart desires. Meaning there is a concept that a person, when they're learning, has the right to learn the topics that they like to learn. They have the right to learn from the Rebbe from whom they wish to learn. It's not so pashut that you could just say, hey, this is Torah, and Torah is good, so just learn Torah. What's your problem?
So shouldn't you get a trial and error kind of thing?
So that's a good question. So the trial and error type of thing. So there are some people that spend their entire lives not learning because they're constantly osik in trial and error. I know, I'm very serious. There's some people that they bounce around from yeshiva to yeshiva, and within the yeshiva they bounce around from Rebbe to Rebbe. So that's clearly not the way. But I think what there is to be said about that is that if you find a Rebbe that you really enjoy learning from, so you shouldn't be so quick to give that up. You shouldn't say, somebody wants to tell you, you know, you should move on, go learn somewhere else. Not so posh it that you have to go learn somewhere else. That's why you need to take advice from people who've been there before and who know you and know what's good advice for you. But nevertheless, there is a very strong inyan, ad kedei kach, that the Ritva is saying that the gzeiras hakasuv of v'chai teaches you that even if there's an excellent yeshiva in the place where you are, you have the right to dafka request a different Rebbe that you want to learn from, and that's not called living. If you don't learn from the Rebbe that you want to learn from, that's a chisaron in the gzeiras hakasuv of v'chai, which is a very, very strong idea. If you think about it, it's very strong, very harsh. That you're making him schlep to you? Okay, in a chinami, maybe it's not the most respectful thing to do, but it's not like you have a choice. Meaning, it's the utmost respect you could give your Rebbe that you need him so badly. Now, one thing you have to keep in mind, and we'll speak about this a little later also when we do the Netziv, that in those days, the Rebbe was a Rebbe Muvuk. Why was the Rebbe a Rebbe Muvuk? Mashen came today that most Rebbeim are not Rebbe Muvuk. Why is that so? What? It's not just the Mesorah, but you have to remember, in those days, all of the Torah Shebaal Peh that you learned was learned from your Rebbe, because they didn't have Sfarim. So as we'll see, that nowadays, most of our Rebbeim don't constitute a Rebbe Muvuk, because we learn most of our Torah from Sfarim. But in those days, the Rebbe taught you everything. So if you, Dafka, learned a certain style from a certain Rebbe, and you couldn't give that up, then it's hard to argue that you could learn a different way all of a sudden, and the Gemara gives you the right to call upon your Rebbe to come teach you in the Ir Miklat. That's basically what we see from this Ritva. And if you take a look, If you take a look in the Rambam, Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, see if I can just get it quickly. The Rambam also has a similar idea in a very harsh, you know, not, I don't know if harsh is the right word, but he's in a very unequivocal lushan, where he writes, Talmud Shegolah La'ari Miklat, Megalin Rabo Imo Shenemar V'chai, Aselo Kedeshi Yichya. The Torah says you have to live there, which means that it's incumbent upon the observers of this halacha. I was purposely ambiguous when I said that, because we'll get to something about that soon. It's incumbent upon whoever's in charge of observing this halacha to make the situation such that the person can live. V'chaye ba'alei chachma u'mevaksheha below Talmud kemisa chashuvin. And a life of people who love wisdom and desire it, you know, without learning, that's considered like death. Right? And then he says, V'chein harav shegola megalin yeshiva so imo. As we see further in the Gemara, that if a Rebbe has to go to Golis, then also his yeshiva is supposed to go with him. So the Rambam's saying that if you basically don't have the Rebbe from whom you wish to learn, then your life is considered like a living death. It's not considered a real life. And there are a lot of makoros that seem to support this idea. Two of the most famous makoros that support this idea. One of them is the tefillah of Osniel ben Knaz. You guys know who Osniel ben Knaz is? The first shofet, right? So he had many names. The Gemara discusses what Osniel ben Knaz's real name was, and they go back and forth trying to figure it out, whatever. What was Kolev ben Yefuna's real name? It wasn't necessarily ben Yefuna, because Kolev ben Yefuna and Osniel ben Knaz may have been brothers. So, obviously, if one was ben Yefuna, one was ben Knaz, so then it doesn't work out so well. But, anyway, if you just... one second, where's the actual Meir Makom there? Where did I put it? Where did I put it on the sheet? Yes. What? Yeah, I wonder myself. I have to take a look. One second. I don't know why I put it so far down the line. Yeah, it's the Gemara in Temura, Tezayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara in Temura, Tezayin Amid Aleph, has the tefillah of Osniel ben Knaz. Let me see if I can pull it up for you in a hurry. Okay. So there, they quote the psukim from Divrei Hayamim. So it says, V'kalev ben Chetzron holid es azuva. Right? So it says, really, Kalev's father's name was not... was Kalev's father's name was not Knaz, it was Chetzron, and they say, hi, how could Osniel ben Knaz be Kalev ben Yefuna's brother? They go back and forth in the Gemara, really maybe the father's real name was Chetzron, and Osniel ben Knaz's father was not named Knaz either. Okay, there's a whole discussion over there, and they say, who Osniel, who Yaivitz? He was known as known as Yaivitz, right? Yaivitz, why is he called Yaivitz? She yo'atz v'rivetz Torah b'Yisrael. Right, because he was a marvitz Torah. He gave eitzes, and he was a marvitz Torah. And that's the same Gemara in Temura where it says that they forgot so many halachas after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and with his koach ha-pilpul, he was able to recreate all of these halachas. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was able to really use the koach ha-Torah without prophecy to really get back a lot of these halachas. Right, so they go, so that the Gemara continues over there, quoting some of the psukim. So he says, Rabbi Yehud, so where is the tefillah? Vayikra Yaivitz l'lokei Yisrael, lemor in barech tevarachini v'herbisa es guli v'hoisa yodcha levilti atzavi v'yavi elokim es asher shal. Right, so what does all this mean? In barech tevarachini batorah. If you bless me to be zoch in Torah, v'herbisa es guli, and you increase my borders, Talmidim, that I should have more Talmidim in the end than I started off with. V'hoisa yodcha imadi, and your hand is with me. Shelo yishtakach talmud milibi, I shouldn't forget my learning. Right? V'asa mera'asi sheizdanu li reim kamosi. That means that I should find similar friends. I should be able to talk and learning with people who are on the same level. Lebilti atzavi shelo yisagveni yetzahara milishanos. Right, and I shouldn't be put to the hands of the Yitzhara. Shouldn't get in trouble with the Yitzhara. Imata osekei mutav. So in the end, he says, if you do this for me, Hashem, great. V'imlav hareini holy klinasisi l'shol. Right, and if not, so anybody know what that means exactly? Holy klinasisi l'shol. Says I'm not just gonna fall into like a depression or a Gehenna or death or you know it's really a negative lashon, right? So here you see Osniel ben Knaz is davening to Hashem that everything should be in his learning should be perfect. And what's he saying? And if I don't get it, if I don't have this hatzlacha, you know that. If I don't get it, have this hatzlacha, it's ki'ilu that I'm dying. I'm going to die a depressing death. You know, so why can't you say, what do you mean? You'll live, you'll have similar type learning, but you'll forget a little bit, and you'll have decent friends, but they won't be, you know, on the kamoscha, you know, they won't be kamoscha, they won't be so similar to you. It's not the end of the world. Why do you have to have everything exactly the way you want? And when it comes to learning, you'll have more talmidim, so maybe you'll have fewer talmidim. What's the big deal? So you see that Osniel ben Knaz's tefillah was that I want everything in learning to be, you know, as top notch as it can be. Otherwise, I consider it like I'm a dead man. I can't live like that. You know, and this is something which we consider to be legitimate. This is a legitimate tefillah that you're allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the finest in life, and the finest in life means the finest in Torah. And that's the famous tefillah of Osniel ben Knaz. And similarly, I'm sure you guys know this story for sure in Gemara Bava Metzia Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Let me see if I get you that one inside. One second. Bava Metzia Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Talk about when Reish Lakish passed away. They have the whole Maisa there about how Rabbi Yochanan was responsible in some way, shape, or form for the death of Reish Lakish. Right? You know that whole Maisa over there? So it says Nach Nashi Rishim Lakish. So after Reish Lakish died, Vahavi Kamit Sta'er Rabbi Yochanan Basrei Tuva. Rabbi Yochanan had tremendous pain, you know, from the death of Reish Lakish. Amru Rabbanon Man Leza Litve L'Daite. Right. So how are we gonna Liyosve Daite? Sorry. How are we gonna make Rabbi Yochanan feel better? How are we gonna give him a Yishev Adas? Nezel Reb Lozer Ben Pdos the Machadidin Shmeitze. So let's bring in Reb Lozer Ben Pdos, who. He really is sharp in his learning. He really he knows all the sugyas. So Azal Yosef Kameh. So he went to sit and learn by Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Milsa Dehavi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Le Tanya Demesayelach. Right. So every time Rabbi Yochanan would say a new idea, so Rabbi Lazar Ben Pedas was such a bucky. He say I could quote your brisa that says exactly the same idea or brings a raya for you. You know, and it was fantastic. Every time Rabbi Yochanan would say a chiddush. He could say a Tanya Nami Hachi, you know? So Rabbi Yochanan was very upset, right? So he says, Omar, right? At Kibar Lakisha, you're like Reish Lakish, right? Bar Lakisha, the son of Lakish, ki hava amina milsa, havi makshali esrin va'arba kushi aisa. So he says, he used to ask me 24 kashas and everything. He said, umafarkinan la esrin va'arba pruke. And I would have to give him 24 terutzim. And that would lead to a real good shir. That would be like, you know, if you guys are firing kashas and I'm giving a good terutzim, that's how you learn. That's how you can really, you know, get to the true depths of the sugya. You're bringing me rayas? You're saying, oh, yeah, there's a brisa that sounds like that. What? I don't know that I'm saying a good svara? He's saying, I know I'm saying a good svara. I don't need to be told that like my thinking is right on. I need to be shown the holes in my thinking and to try to plug them up and to through that come to a more emistika svara. Right? So he says, have a call. So basically Rabbi Yochanan was not happy with the situation. So he says, he was tearing his clothing, So he said, and he was tearing kriya and saying, "Where are you, Reish Lakish? Where are you, Reish Lakish?" B'havikat savach ad shaf daite mine, and he would cry out until you know he was kilu losing his mind. Bo Rabbanan Rachmei Aleve Noch Nafshei. So the Rabbanan davened that Hashem should have mercy on him, and he passed away. So again, what do we see from this Maisa? You know, we see the same idea that a person... What are you going to say to Rabbi Yochanan? What, you have the second best chavrusa that you could have ever had, Rabbi Loz ben Pedas. He was excellent. He knew Kol Torah Kula at his fingertips. That every little svara that Rabbi Yochanan could say, he would say that a brisa that's a raya for you. You know, and my guess, I don't know this for a fact. My guess is it wasn't like a beferish a brisa. You know, that said exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. It was a diuk in a brisa. I'm sure he had a good lamdish diuk in the brisa that Rabbi Yochanan could be proud of. If Rabbi Loz ben Pedas would say, listen, if you learn the brisa like this, then it's your svara, you know. But still, that wasn't the same level of learning that Rabbi Yochanan was used to, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan couldn't function like that. He felt that his life was not a life. If he wasn't going to be learning Torah on the highest of levels, then it wasn't enough for him, right? They say the Briska Rav used to complain about that also. I said when the Briska Rav was in Eretz Yisrael, he had great Talmidim, but he didn't have Talmidim the same caliber as the Talmidim that he had when he was in Europe. One of my uncle is a Talmud of Brisk, and he's a Rebbe there a little bit, so he told me that Briska Rav used to complain also that because when he was in Europe, he used to have a special situation where he had a deal with the Mir Yeshiva, that they used to send him top Talmidim to learn by him for 2-year stints. Some of the Talmidim he kept a little longer, but he used to have Talmidim come to learn by him, you know, in shifts. So that Mir would have different contests and different ways to figure out who was going to be Zolcha to go be considered one of the big guys to learn by the Briska Rav. But he held that he never had caliber, the Talmidim, the caliber of those that he had in Europe. So
Yeah,
perhaps.
I mean, ironically, I'm giving a rhyme.
Yeah. All right. Perhaps, yeah, but it's the same board. Okay. So anyway, this is a riot to what the Rambam is talking about, to what the Ritva is talking about, and it's really just a Beferish Gemara, that it's considered a chiyus if you're able to learn on the highest of levels, or the highest level for you. Meaning if you, Dafka, have more Hatzlacha, learning from a particular Rebbe, so then there is an inyan to say that you have the right to learn that style or from that Rebbe, and they have to bring the Rebbe to you. Okay, so Shmuel Rozovsky has an interesting kasha here. Shmuel Rozovsky basically wants to know, it's very nice that the Talmud has the right to ask for the Rebbe, but why should the Rebbe have to listen? Why should the Rebbe have to go? He says that in general, that's why I said before, when it says the pasuk says v'chai, he should live. So, upon whom is the chiyuv to keep him alive? Generally, we say we use the term that these chiyuvim are on the Beis Din. These are chiyuvim that are on the leaders of Bnei Yisrael, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, to make sure that these halachas are kept. But it's not the Rebbe's responsibility to make sure that the student lives. So he says, therefore, the Beis Din should have to find a Rebbe who's willing to go and who's up to the caliber of helping the student learn in that particular way. But why should the Rebbe have to care about it? The Rebbe's not—it's not his responsibility. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky wants to say that that you see from here that the chiyuv regarding a person who goes to the Ir Miklat is not stam a chiyuv on a Beis Din; it's a chiyuv on every member of Klal Yisrael. And it's not that there's certain chiyuvim which we say are dafka on the parents of a person or the relatives of a person, a certain chiyuvim that are on the Beis Din, a certain chiyuvim that are on all of Klal Yisrael. So Shmuel Rozovsky says, this is a chiyuv that's on all of Klal Yisrael. And this Rebbe is included in all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he has to go to Golis in order to teach his Talmud. Along these lines, I just thought you could say that even if you hold it's a chiyuv on the Beis Din, it's the Beis Din's job to find someone who's going to fulfill the task. Meaning, if we're saying that the pasuk v'chai says that it's not considered living unless he can learn from this particular Rebbe, so it's just like, what?
It's very hard for the Beis Din to do that.
It's hard for the Beis Din to do it, but more than that, it's... If you're sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash, and you are a surgeon that can is the only one in the world who can perform a particular type of surgery that's going to save somebody's life, and the guy's halfway across the world. So it's a good question. Do we say that you have to get up, uproot yourself, and go perform this surgery, because literally it's pikuach nefesh for this guy, and it's eifshar le'asos al-yedei acherim. There's no one else who can perform this task, and you have to go and perform the surgery. So pashtus is, you would be chayiv to do that. Again, I'm not saying halacha l'maaseh, I'm just saying that if there's a mitzvah that only you can do, and it's a serious mitzvah, and so we would say that that mitzvah is incumbent upon you. So too, this Rebbe, he's the only one, for better or for worse, you know, again, the Metzias is hard to imagine, but he's the only one that this Talmud can learn from, right, on the level that he's entitled to learn. And therefore, the Rebbe is the only one who could save the life of this Talmud. We can say, and it's not a joke, we're not saying like a drush for it, it says, we're darshening halacha l'maisa from the pasuk v'chai, that this is considered a life for the Talmud. And therefore, the Rebbe's job is to keep the Talmud alive. And thus, the Rebbe has a chiyuv to go teach the Talmud, not necessarily because the chiyuv is incumbent upon him, that it's incumbent upon all of Klal Yisrael. It's a chiyuv on the Beis Din to find that one surgeon who can keep this guy alive. But once the Beis Din says, hey, we found you, you're the only one who can keep him alive, so then the mitzvah becomes your mitzvah, because there's no one else on earth who could perform this mitzvah. Right? I don't know. You have to think about it.
This whole concept is... So I mean, what about nowadays? Like, why don't we have such a concept? Like, when kids are just strong, we have like yeshivas, like all the yeshivas. You know, like, why in like high school do we have like each year you have like why don't you have like the own high schools like today? Even like yeshivas high schools, I'm saying, like, I don't do that either.
So, right.
They don't have like set up like this is the ready for this year. Like, you know, like break it up, they break it up by grade.
Right.
So, like, why don't you have that? Why don't you have like?
Why do we have a tier system instead of learning from a particular Rebbe?
Right.
Well, part of it is first you have to find the Rebbe, saying you can't just show up on day one. And second of all, I don't know. There's a lot to say on the topic, obviously. You have to question which method of chinuch is going to work for a particular generation. But part of it is just that really when you're in school, It's not really, you're learning how to learn more so than you're learning. You know, so it's not, so there's a particular Rebbe who teaches a level of shir in a grade. He is an expert, hopefully, at teaching that nekuda of how to learn. But ein achinami, once you're ready to learn, so it's worthwhile to try to find a Rebbe and learn by that Rebbe for hopefully an extended period of time. You know, have a Rebbe for life, hopefully. Not just, you know, I always found it strange that in the modern yeshiva system, people only go to shir for a few years. And then once they get married, they don't go to shir anymore. They only have chaburas, you know, once in a while somebody gives a chabura. But I don't know, if I could still go to shir today, I would go to shir. I don't know, like, how do I... I wish I could still go to, you know, to the same shirim that I used to go to when I was younger. You know, I listened to a lot of shirim on my iPod, whatever. But like halavai, if I was learning a mesechta, I would love to be able to hear my own Rebbe's Torahs on the mesechta. And if I already heard it once, it's even better the second time usually. So it's, you know, it's definitely. I don't know why people hate going to shir so much, but they do. it's understood that when you pass a certain age in the yeshiva, you don't go to shir anymore. It's like a bizayin, still go to shir. Yeah, because they don't need you after a while. They hold that you have nothing to tell them.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely true. He has said that before. Anyway, okay, but it's not true. You still need. All right. Anyway, getting back. But again, in those days, you the learning was specifically coming from the Rebbe. Nowadays, the learning comes from Sfarim mostly, so it's not the same din as Rebbe Mubak. Rav Shachter likes to say that if you have a Rebbe that you felt shaped your entire personality in learning. So even though you didn't learn, the Gemara uses the term that Rov Chachmaso Mimena, that if you learn the majority of your Torah from this Rebbe, so then that's the Rebbe Muvuk. But if this Rebbe put his stamp on every piece of Gemara you're going to learn, La'ol Me'ad, you're going to learn it, analyzing it based on the way that that Rebbe taught you. So that could also be a din of a Rebbe Muvuk, that you consider, because he's part of every Gemara you learn. Every time you open up a Sefer, you're learning it from the perspective of that Rebbe. So that's also considered a little bit Rov Chachma Somimenu in that sense. So you could have a din of Rebbe Muvuk Bizman Hazel also. Okay. What? What? Yeah, for sure. I'm saying it's good. Okay. What else? Could you have a Talmud Muvuk if you don't have a Rebbe Muvuk? Cool. Yeah, I mean, Talmud Muvuk usually just means that out of all the Talmidim that this Rebbe taught, this guy's the best. Was he the best dafka because of the Rebbe? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. He would have been the best no matter where he was, maybe. You know, so he would have been whoever, you know. I don't know. The term Talmud Muvuk doesn't necessarily mean the Talmud that when we use it colloquially, doesn't really mean the Talmud that you put the most kolchus into. It's just that the top Talmud, we call him the Talmud Muvuk. But it's possible that you put all your kolchus into this one guy and he wasn't listening. Or he listened, but he didn't have the hatzlacha in learning that some other Talmud had. So he's really your Talmud Muvuk, the one you taught the most and you worked the hardest with and you tried to really get him to learn as best as possible. He's your real Talmud Muvuk, but the guy who's, you know, the next big thing, he's called the Talmud Muvuk because he's the next big thing. You know, and I've had this many times. I remember a while back I gave a shiur somewhere, and I gave a shiur every night, and I wasn't, I Keilu didn't even know that this guy was in the shiur. He was like a quiet kid, and he came in like, I saw his mother, you know, later on in the year, and she told me he's in your shiur, and he's doing so much, whatever, blah, you know, and I was just like thinking to myself, like, never once when I spoke during the shiur did I ever have him in mind. You know, I had this guy in mind, that guy in mind, and those guys that I all had in mind, they weren't listening to a word I said. You know, and this guy, he was taking it all in. You know, so you never know who's going to be the real Talmud. You never know. Okay. So along these lines of the concept of the Talmud Muvuk versus the Rebbe Muvuk, then the Tziv has a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover. Did you get a copy of it? So the Tziv has a tshuva where he's talking about something totally different. The topic in the Netziv's tshuva is somebody who spends his meiser money on writing a Sefer Torah. Unrelated to any of this stuff. Somebody spends his meiser money to write a Sefer Torah. So he wants to know basically a few things. He wants to know, number one, is this Sefer Torah his? Or does it somehow belong to, you know, meiserani or whatever? Does it belong to the poor people of the world, you know? And that's issue number one. Issue number two, he wants to know, did he fulfill his inyan of Meiser Ksofim? And there was a third Nakuda that he wanted to know. What was the third issue? He wanted to know... Right, good. Was he Yotze his mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah through this or not? So the Netziv doesn't think it's much of a question. He thinks the Davar Poshut, that he was not Yotzei giving Meiser to Aniyim, because it's a Sefer Torah, it's not money for Aniyim. He says, if it was a situation where all the poor people of the area had no Sefer Torah, so that would be Meiser Ani for the Sefer Torah. But he's saying, Mistama, every poor man in town can still go to Shul and, you know, lane from a Sefer Torah. So he didn't need your Sefer Torah. They don't need your Sefer Torah. So he says, and once you say that it's not being fulfilled, you know, fulfilling the Din Meiser Ani, so you're not Yosi Meiser Ksofim. And you are Yotze Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah, and it's yours. You know, it's your Sefer Torah. Enjoy it. You know, do what you want with it. But it's not a Din in Meiser Ani at all. But the Shoel here tried to bring a Raya that since you're not allowed to seize, a Baal Chov is not allowed to seize the Sforim that a person has, so maybe that's a raya that the Sforim don't constitute this person's Dine Mominus, they don't constitute his monetary ownership over something, and therefore maybe the Sefer Torah doesn't really belong to the guy who had it written, and maybe it's really a Din in the Meiser Ani. So the Netziv is very unimpressed by this Taina. He says, you quoted me a Nemukah Yosef in Bab Metzia that says you can't take away his Sfarim. He says the Lashon is, Eino inyan ledvarenu, sham mayri leinyan sidur shamanichin chaya nefesh. Meaning, saying that was, I'm not sure exactly what the Netziv is talking about because I didn't see that Nemukah Yosef. He didn't give a Maram Malkum. I wasn't sure where the Nemukah Yosef was. But he basically was some particular sefer that he really needed. Right? And then he adds on, this is what it's nogeya to us, v'chein svarim ha-hechrechiyim le-talmud chacham, hainu chayav. Right? So he says, svarim that a talmud chacham really needs to use in order to learn, that's his life. U'kiloshen di'isav in Meseches Makas, he quotes the Gemara in Daf Yud by us, talmud shegola megalin rabo imo, shenemar v'chai ovid midi tehavi lechiyusa. Right, we learn, we darshan from the pasuk v'chai, you have to give him a life. U'bizman hazeh, sifrei talmud chacham heima rabosav, v'chiyusa didei. Nowadays, your Rebbe is your sfarim. And that's your life. He says, but it doesn't apply to every sefer. You know, you have a lot of talmid chacham, and they have hundreds and hundreds of sfarim. So he says, it doesn't mean he could take his entire collection, or he has to take his entire collection. He says, avo rak ha-muchrachim lilimudo. Just the ones he actually needs to learn. Okay. So he says, it's nothing to do with anything regarding your Shiloh. Your Shiloh has nothing to do with this issue of his Sfarim being his life. But the diuk for our Gemara is that Bizman Azeh, if a guy would go to Golis, he would be allowed to take the Sfarim that he needed. That would be considered taking your Rebbe with you. Anyway, I just thought it was a cute tshuva to take a look at. What? Right, but I just, you know, he mentioned it Derech Agav. Okay. So now there's a question as follows. It says that the Rebbe, if a Rebbe goes to Golis, then his yeshiva goes along with him. So what about if the Talmud goes to Golis and the Rebbe has to go with the Talmud? What happens to the yeshiva? So, Pashtus, I would assume, the yeshiva would go with the Rebbe. Why should the yeshiva situation be worse if the Rebbe himself killed somebody b'shogig than if the Talmud killed somebody b'shogig? Meaning, if the Rebbe killed somebody b'shogig, then the Talmidim will have to go with him, right? Or the yeshiva goes with him. But if the Talmud kills somebody b'shogig and the Rebbe has to go to teach the Talmud, why shouldn't the Talmidim come too?
Is that what? He's not stuck in law.
He can't leave. He has a chiv to go teach his Talmud. So what? He's still stuck in the Ir Miklat. The Rebbe's stuck in the Ir Miklat. The Talmud wants to, you know, he wants to have his Rebbe come and learn, so he has to be there. So what about the other 500 Talmidim? Should they come to the Ir Miklat or not?
There's no way being Shiva would say that's Shad and Rebbe Magnum, Yeshiva also Imam, right? I see, like, now what the Gemara says, that the Rebbe gets going to go, it's when Magnum is going. He's going to go, so he's for that one
Talmud,
and then when he's going for that one Talmud, he should go with him.
No, that's not the pshat. The pshat there is if he actually kills somebody b'shogeg.
No,
that's a separate case. Yeah. But the question is, what about in the case where the Talmud's the one who committed the ritzicha, what about then? Okay, so it's a good kasha. So, Lanias Daiti, some achronim deal with it. So Lanias Daiti, I think it's a davar pashat that the yeshiva should go with him. That any Talmud who wants to continue in that yeshiva, no, they're no worse off than the Talmud who's in Golis and he wants to learn by this Rebbe. So why should they not be allowed to learn by the Rebbe as well? The Aruch Laner does not say that. The Aruch Laner says that we don't send the yeshiva to Golis unless the Rebbe himself is Chayav Golis. So just take a step back for a second. I'll tell you how that Aruch Laner comes up. The Maharsha asks the following kasha. The Maharsha says, how come we don't have the same line? Rabbi Zeira says, after we say that the Rebbe has to follow the Talmud to Golis, he says, we learn from here that you should not teach Torah to a Talmud Sheino Hogan. Right? You're not supposed to teach Torah to an improper student. So the Maharsha says, we should have the exact same line by the Rebbe. Meaning, we just said that the whole reason you shouldn't teach an improper student is that maybe the Rebbe's going to have to go to Golis with the student. So you shouldn't learn Torah from a Rebbe Sheino Hogun, because maybe the Rebbe's going to have to go to Golis, and you're going to have to go to Golis with the Rebbe. So why not say the same thing over there? So Marsha answers the kasha. He doesn't exactly ask it, but that's clearly what he's getting at. Right? So the Marsha answers, because it's not actually true. There are some cases where you are allowed to learn from a Rebbe Sheino Hogun under certain circumstances. Right? So therefore, they didn't write in the Gemara, you shouldn't learn by Rebbe Sheino Hogun. He quotes two Gemaras. He doesn't give you the Mara Makomos on those Gemaras, but they're very famous Gemaras. The first one is a Gemara in Moed Katan. Gemara in Moed Katan has the famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan based on the Pasuk in Malachi. Pasuk in Malachi says, where is it? Let me get you the exact lashon of the Pasuk. Ki sifse kohen yishmeru das v'tori yivakshu mipihu. Ki malach Hashem tzvakushu. Right? The lips of a kohen guard knowledge, and they will request Torah from his mouth because he is an angel of Hashem. So what on earth does that mean? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Im domeh harav l'malach Hashem tzvakos yivakshu Torah mipiyu v'im lav al yivakshu Torah mipiyu. If your Rebbe is in your eyes like a malach, then you should want Torah from him. And if not, you should not want Torah from him. So on one hand, you see very, very clearly that, you know, that you're only supposed to learn from a Rebbe that's Hogun, not just Hogun. You should look up to him. You should really think very highly of your Rebbe. Just the Derech Agav. Well, if he's not so good, but you do think highly of him, then how do you even know he's not so good? Saying, assuming if he's not so good, you know it, and if he is good, you know it, right? So, but Derech Agav, I once heard from Rav Braunspiegel, B'shem Rav Gerelik, who was one of the Talmidim from the Mir who went to learn by the Brisker Rav. So he said that Rav Gerelik once darshaned the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ase lecha rav uknei lecha chaver, mehavidanis kol adam lekaf schus. So he said that what's the connection between the three? So he said, if you're not down lekaf schus, no one's ever going to be good enough to be your Rebbe, and no one's ever going to be good enough to be your friend. So he said, every Rebbe is going to make mistakes, and he's going to do things which are questionable, which, you know, he may have regret doing, because he's a person. He's not a Malach Hashem Tzvakus. So he says, but you're supposed to be down Lekav Schus. He says, if you want to be Mekayim Asei L'Charav, you have to be down Lekav Schus. That your Rebbe's going to make mistakes, but that doesn't mean he's not a tzaddik. It doesn't mean he's not worthy of being your Rebbe. It just means that it's incumbent upon the Talmud to, on one hand, you know, have a Rebbe that he holds very highly of, but on the other hand, in order to get to that point, you can't nitpick every little thing that the Rebbe does and look for the bad. You have to look for the good and realize that your Rebbe's going to make mistakes and that he's not perfect, but nevertheless, he's still, you know, hopefully will still be an excellent, an excellent Rebbe and an excellent role model. Now, if you find yourself day and night being down the kaschus, you know, every little thing the Rebbe does, so then already it's time to move on. But you know, if once in a while the Rebbe makes a mistake or the Rebbe does something which is questionable and you have a choice whether to be down the kaf chov or the kaf schus, you have to be down the kaf schus. Anyway, so just getting back, the Gemara in Chagig on Tezvav Amibes, and this is the Marsha's Raya, quotes that Rebbe Meir, the Gemara, all of Tezvav Med Aleph to Tezvav Med Beis, all this, the Gemara is with Acher, with Elisha ben Avuya, who was Rebbe Meir's Rebbe, who went off to Derech. So, talks about all the things that Rebbe Meir learned from Acher, and the Gemara asks, how could he have learned Torah from Acher? And they quote that the statement of Rebbe Yochanan, that he has to be Dome Beinecha Kemalach Hashem Tzvakos. So, Rebbe had a different pasuk, he darshaned two possible of the psukim, which say that you can learn Torah from him, and so how come you have a pasuk that says you could learn Torah from him, and a pasuk you can't learn Torah from him? So the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, habegadol habekatan. That if you're a gadol, if you're already a great Talmud Chacham or a great man, so you have the right to learn from a Rebbe Sheino Hogun, because we're not afraid that you're going to be badly influenced by him. But if you're a katan, if you're still a person who is, you know, what is a katan versus a gadol in this case?
So. Your own.
Right, meaning if you are, I think the difference between a katan and a gadol is the difference between a giver and a taker, right? That's when we say it by a bris, zeha katan gadol yiyeh. Right now he's a katan. The ultimate katan is a baby, can't do anything. He doesn't do for anybody. He takes from everybody. Right? A gadol yiyeh means that Be'ezrus Hashem, one day, he's going to be a giver. He's going to be someone who can do for others. And he doesn't need from others so much. Everybody needs from others, but he doesn't need as much from others. Right? So if you're a gadol, if you're already on your own 2 feet, that you are established and you don't need this Rebbe, you could live without him. You don't need him. Right? We said, it's not the same. Right? It's not the same if you don't have this Rebbe. If you're a gadol, if you're established in your own learning and you just feel that this Rebbe has something to offer you, so then you're not going to feel the need to justify everything that he does. If you say, listen, I need to learn this sugya with this particular mahalach of this Rebbe, so you're not beholden to that Rebbe. You're on your own. So if you're a gadol, you can learn from him. But if you're a katan, which means you mamish need him, you're a taker, and you have to take everything that he has to offer, then you're going to end up taking in some of the bad with the good. And therefore, you're not allowed to learn from such a Rebbe. And the Gemara continues on. We're short on time, so I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara, but if you get a chance to look up the sugya, so they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at first was angry at Rebbe, right? He says that, well, actually, I should go through it a little bit because I'm going to need to explain the Rambam. So the Gemara just continues, Ki Asa Reb Dimi Omar Amri B'mar Rav Rebbe Meir Ochel Tachla B'shoda Shichla Labora. Right? So what does that mean? Rebbe Meir was able to eat the fruit and throw away the peel. Right? He was able to throw away the seeds and he was able to throw away the seeds. Dorash Rava Mai Dichsiv, and he quotes Ginas Egos Yeradati Liros Bavi Anachal Lama Nimshul Tamina Chacham LeEgos Lama Lecha Ma Egos Zeaf Api Shem Luchlach Betir Vetzoa Af Mashav Betocho Nimos Af Talmud Chacham Af Api Shesarach Ein Toraso Nimeses. Very interesting. The Gemara says that the Torah of a Talmud Chacham, even if the Talmud Chacham went bad, his Torah is still good Torah. Ashkechei Rabba Barshila Eliyo Amalei My Kavod Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What's Hashem doing right now? Amalei Kamar Shmaita Mipuma Dekula Rabbanan. He's quoting different statements of the rabbis. Umipuma De Rabbi Meir Lo Kamar, but he's not quoting Rabbi Meir. Amalei Amai Mishum Deka Kamar Shmaita Mipuma De Acher, because Rabbi Meir learned from Acher. Amalei Amai Rabbi Meir Rimon Matza Tocho Achal Klipas Ozark. Rabbi Meir treated it like a pomegranate. He was able to eat the seeds, he was able to eat the good parts of the fruit and throw away the rest. So Amalei Hashtak Amar. Okay, now Hashem is masking when you said that. So he said, and he quotes Hashtak Amar, Meir bini Omer, Bismancha Adam Mitzar, Shechina Mal, and he quotes a brisa from Rabbi Meir. Right? So okay, so whatever the shock of the tire of the Gemara, I'm not going to explain it, but there's a Marsha there also, which is Kedai, but not for now. But you see, in the end, it seems that the Gemara is maskim to Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir did the right thing by learning from Acher, right? But if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam pretty much ignores this Gemara in Chagiga in favor of the earlier statement of Rabbi Yochanan in Chagiga and the Gemara in Moed Katan, and it's quoted a couple of other places also. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalid, Halacha Aleph. If you take a look in the Rambam, if you have one, I don't know if you have one or not, but it should be quoted by our Gemara as well. And if you have the Rambam in the back of the Gemara, it's by Talmud Shein Hogan. So it's Perek Dalet Alecha Aleph and Ilchus Talmud Torah. There we go here. So he says, Ein melamed in divrei Torah el le Talmud Hogan no'e b'maisav. So you can only teach Torah to a person with good actions. O le tam, or a person who is simple. Right, so that's the question. What does the Tam mean? Okay, Avlim Haya Holech Bederech Lo Tova Machzir Noso Lemutav Umanhigin Oso Bederech Yishor Ubodkin Oso VeAcharkach Machnisin Oso LeBeis Hamedrash Melamdin Oso. Very interesting. No one does this anymore, right? No one does this anymore. It's based on a pasuk. The Rambam is basing himself on a pasuk. He's not saying nothing. He's not saying nonsense here. Chas v'shalom, but he's saying that what do you do if you have somebody who, if you have somebody who is going in the wrong path? First, you need to bring him to the good path. Then you test him, make sure he's on the good path. Then teach him Torah. We do the opposite. Bezman hazeh, we say fill him up with Torah, and hopefully he'll go on the good path. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is sur meirav asay tov. That's what I was saying. It's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says miyosh yechavetz chaim, etc. Sur meirav asay tov bakei shalom rodfeu, right? Sur meirav, first turn away from bad, then asay tov, then do something good. Meaning if the tov if the asay tov precedes the sur meirav, that's not exactly what the Torah recommends. First you have to try to turn away from evil, then do something good.
Is this
No, but here we find that b'chol adeis, everyone holds you're supposed to teach Torah to a Talmud Hagun. There's a different machlokis that the Gemara in Brachas records that Rabbi Gamliel used to keep people out of the Beis Medrash because they weren't Tocho Kibaro. That people who were a little bit fakers, they were not allowed into the Beis Medrash.
Isn't that like the Bogin of them? You check and make sure he's on the Derech Tovah.
Right.
And then Bogin also, and then only then can you take him Torah.
Right.
So isn't that sort of...
I don't know what. Why is that Dafka Beis Shammai?
Well, they told him you can teach Torah to anyone because then hopefully someone will take it in.
Right.
Beis Shammai said you can only teach to those who are like deserving or those who are...
Right. Well, according to the Kesef Mishnah and others, he's not basing himself on that machlokas. He's basing himself on a different machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you know what the Maisa over there? He quotes the Gemara in Brachos Chav Chesem et Aleph that the Rabbi Gamliel got kicked out of being the Nasi, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed instead. And that day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah opened up the Beis Medrash for Chol Man Deboy. Anyone who wanted to come learn could come learn, and they filled up tons and tons of seats in the Beis Medrash. People who wanted to come, the Rabban Gamliel wouldn't let them in because they weren't Tocho Kibaro. They weren't pure-hearted in the way Rabban Gamliel would have liked. So, okay, the Gemara has discussion over there. But Lamaisa, that's already a machlokas within the Yisod of what's called a Talmud Sheino Hagun. Right? We're not going to have time to finish it today, but maybe tomorrow we'll discuss a little bit more about what's called a Talmud Sheino Hagun versus what's called a Talmud Hagun. But simply put, I would argue that the Rambam might not be going this way, but perhaps you could say that the Yisod of Talmud Sheino Hagun is similar to the same idea of learning Shelo Lishma. Who's allowed to learn Shelo Lishma and who's not allowed to learn Shelo Lishma? The very famous Tosfos in Pesachim on Daf Nun that talks about what's considered learning Shelo Lishma that's good and what's considered learning Shelo Lishma that's bad. Right, so maybe you could say a similar vart within a Talmud Sheino Hagun, and I'll try to get to that hopefully Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. But just to point out, the Lechem Mishnah, Esekasha, he says, I don't understand why the Rambam leaves out the Gemara in Chagiga. How come the Rambam doesn't mention that Rabbi Meir used to learn from Acher? It seems that, and if you read the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara is accepted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to Rabbi Meir. Right? So how come Halacha l'maisa, the Rambam doesn't mention that habekatan habegadol, that if you're a katan, then you're not allowed to learn from Rabbi Sheino Hagun, and if you're a gadol, then you are allowed to. So the Lechem Mishnah basically seems to say that because there's so many other Gemaras that they just quote Rabbi Yochanan, like we said, the Gemara in Moed Katan on Daf Yud Zayin, and if you look in the Masorah Sashas, there's other places besides Moed Katan and Chagiga that statement of Rabbi Yochanan is quoted, that you should dafka have a Rebbe that's Doma Beinecha Kemalach Hashem Tzvakos, and therefore Rambam didn't want to paskin like that one Agadita of Rabbi Meir, even though it sounds like from that one Sugya that we do accept Rabbi Meir's idea. So he wants to say that Rabbi Meir is a Shmaitzah that's Lava Liba de Hilchasa, because the rest of Shas, we don't paskin that way. And therefore, it's a machlokas hasugyos, and we paskin against what Rabbi Meir did. Okay, that's a possibility, but... What? Yes, according to that Gemara, Kadosh Baruch was maskim to what Rabbi Meir did, but there's other sugyas that say that, no, we're not maskim to what Rabbi Meir did. We don't think that that's the way to go. Right, and we don't bring rayas from Eliyahu HaNavi as to what the halach is. So that's one possibility. It's just that I don't think you have to even go there. I don't think you have to say what the Kesef Mishnah is saying, that it's a machlokas asugis, because like you said, it's pashut from the sugi itself that Hashem was maskim to Rabbi Meir. But I think the answer is very simple. Rabbi Meir was Yachid Bedoro. And he wasn't only Yachid Bedoro. He was Yachid, you know, for many generations. Rabbi Meir was such an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. The Gemara in Erevin says that he was such a super genius, we can't even paskin like him. It's usually not. It's a backhanded compliment. The Gemara in Erevin, the beginning of Erevin, says we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. Very rarely do we accept Shitas Rabbi Meir unless there's others who agree with him. Why not? Because Rabbi Meir was such a genius, he could convince you of anything. He convinced you Tameh is Torah, Torah is Tameh. It didn't matter. He could throw svaras your way that says, Lo yardu l'sov daito, that they didn't, nobody really chopped what he was getting at. And Psak Halacha is not only based on who's the smartest and who's the biggest Talmud Chacham. Psak Halacha is, we analyze the opinions, whatever makes the most sense to us, that's how we paskin. Now, us means the Gedolei Ador, Shebechol Dor V'Dor, but whatever makes the most sense, that's how we paskin. We never knew whether or not Rabbi Meir was making sense. It made sense to him, but like he was such a super genius, we couldn't really chop what Rabbi Meir was getting at. So therefore, we don't really paskin like Rabbi Meir. So to say that, and who said Rebbe? Rebbe had a lashon that he says the only reason I was ever zoche to be sharper than my peers was that I once saw the back of Rabbi Meir. That's the line that Rebbe Yudah Nasi had. He says, okay, so that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was yachid miyuchid, that he could learn from Acher, and he could be zorik the klipa and take the pri. No one else was necessarily able to do that. So the Rambam's not saying it's a machlokas asugyas. That sugya was arguing on one nekuda only. Was this okay for Rabbi Meir to do? And the answer is, yes, it was okay for Rabbi Meir. But that doesn't have any bearing on anyone else. Rabbi Meir paskin, ha bekatan, ha begadol. What's the definition of a gadol? Apparently the definition of a gadol is not what I said before, that he's self-sufficient. The definition of a gadol is Rabbi Meir. Right? Rabbi Meir, or somebody like Rabbi Meir. So if you're Rabbi Meir, the Rambam's not talking to you. Right? But the Lechem Mishnah would respond back to what I'm saying, that even if there's no one in that generation who fits the bill, the Rambam still paskins things which are only going to be Mosa Mashiach. The Rambam paskins things that are all kinds of not halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. So the only way I'd be able to respond to that is the same way I said before, that true, but he's not going to paskin a shaila that for one person in 10 generations that he's going to write b'medvar ma'murim, that you're not one person in 10 generations. But if you're one person in 10 generations, then you're allowed to do it. That far, the Rambam is not willing to paskin, not halacha l'maisa. Okay, we'll hold here.